Haley and Becca go to, the one that Matthew graduated from. I technically have 1 year left. I have a spring semester and then a fall semester because I kind of started a little bit weird. But so I'm 21 years old and I'm originally from Toms River, New Jersey. So I'm actually like an hour from the college. So this is about a 7 hour trip, but I mean, they know that. So just going to give you a quick update of my mom and then we'll get into the message. First off, I really appreciate this church. I appreciate your prayers for her. And I just want to say that I just really felt the love when I came in here. And some of you didn't even know that I was into Haley, so you loved me anyway. So that I appreciated that too. But thank you for praying for my mom. She's still in a rehab hospital now. She had a surgery recently. And it was the same kind of thing. Tumor back in her brain and her left side went. But now it's coming back, but it's not coming back as quick as it did last time, so she's in rehab for a while. And she was in rehab on Christmas, and that was kind of rough for her and for us. But she should be getting out tomorrow. So the big prayer request is for her tomorrow just to feel confident. She's kind of nervous getting back home and living and doing everything herself. And she has results from MRI from her right after her two surgeries that she had recently. So just a lot of big prayer requests for her and for us, and we really appreciate it. I'm going to start off by praying, and then we'll get right into it. Dear God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for how much you love us. God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for just the blessing they've been to me. God, I just pray that you just give me the words to say now. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that I would just be used of you tonight. God, I pray you would just hide me. God, I pray you'd get rid of Anthony. God, I pray you just show up, Lord, in a real way. God, I thank you for how much you've just helped me through this message, God, and I pray it would just be a help to those that need it. God, I thank you for all you do for us. I thank you for always being good to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So we all know that this life isn't easy. And we can all attest that sometimes we get tired. Sometimes you have that day where you just don't want to get up. And recently for me, that's been almost every day. And especially when I was in college, I had a new job and working 40 hours a week and going to school. And I didn't have much time to think. And sometimes I would say, I don't even have time to breathe. But then, you know, then you have Brother Charlie telling you, you got to do more. It's just like, I don't have time to do more. And I would get tired, and I would some people would know I get a little cranky sometimes, but sometimes, you know, life just hits you, and sometimes you don't feel like getting up in the morning. Sometimes you just don't want to take on the day, and you get weary. So we're going to look into a passage where Paul was talking to the region of Galatia. There is a specific church, about a church that had some members that got weary. And we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 10. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So like I said before, this life isn't easy. And there's going to be times when you're going to get tired. Now the first point, I'm going to warn you, it's maybe not the most encouraging and it's not what you would thought it would be. But the first point on what God showed me to help me when I get tired, when I get weary in doing this life, is that I need to realize that I'm nothing. In verse 3 it says, "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." So until I realized that I was nothing, God said, Anthony, when I realized that, well, before I realized that I was nothing, I tried to do everything myself. I tried to do everything in my own strength. I was like, all right, here comes another day. I just got to suck it up, muster up some strength, and get through classes. And then you get to class, and it's, well, my first class of the day was homiletics. And sometimes that wasn't the happiest class. I remember one class, this was interesting. We all were supposed to have outlines on Wednesdays. It was Wednesday. Not one person had an outline. I'm not going to say his name, but somebody was supposed to be prepared to preach that day. He called in sick that day. And the next person in line who was supposed to preach wasn't ready. And may or not have been me. But I wasn't prepared for that guy not to show up. So Brother Charlie walked in, and he was like, he noticed that nobody was ready, and no one was prepared, and he wasn't very happy about it. And this is my first class of the day, and I just had, 10 hours of work, and I got home at 2, and I didn't get much sleep, and, in my mind, I'm thinking of all the excuses of why I didn't have my outline ready. But that doesn't mean anything, because, I have to get stuff done, I have work to do. And Brother Charlie walked in, and he didn't teach, he didn't, no one preached, because no one was ready, and he just kind of walked out. And which, rightfully so, none of us were prepared, and he said something, but I'll leave that aside because that was just for us, and it wasn't, it was definitely just for us. But I mean, rightfully so. None of us were prepared, and we should have been ready. And I have that page in my notebook, and it's just blank. And it's a reminder to me, just when I see it, it's like, oh, that was the day that I didn't do what I was supposed to do. It was a reminder to me that was the day that I didn't get what I was supposed to get just because I got weary. Because I got tired, and I made excuses. I've done it before. And it's sad to say, when I was younger, I pulled all-nighters doing the wrong things. Maybe not the wrong thing, maybe not the best thing, playing video games, watching movies, whatever. But so I could have went to work and stayed up all night and got my outline ready, but I didn't. Because why? I was tired. And you say, oh, well, of course you were tired. You worked all day. But I could have done it, but I didn't because I was weary. And that page reminds me is that when I'm weary, when I'm tired, there's stuff that just has to get done. And it's never going to get done if we try to do it in our own strength. Because in my own strength, I'm going to be honest with you, I pulled into the dorm. This happens, unfortunately, almost every night when I was at school. I'd pull into the dorm, and I'd fall asleep. I wouldn't even get out of the car. I'd pull into the dorm, and I'd fall asleep. And then I'd wake up, and I'd be like, why am I in my car? But then I'd look, and it was like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, I just got home from work. So then I go out, and I go to bed. But yeah, so in my own strength, I would get tired, and I would fall asleep. But we have to rely on God's strength, realizing that we're nothing, and that He's everything. And until we realize that, we're not going to have the strength we need to have. We're not going to be able to get through our weariness. Turn the Bible to John 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15. I'm going to read in verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It says, for without me ye can do nothing. Now that's Jesus talking there. And we believe the Bible, and it says plain as day, you can do nothing without Jesus' help. And it's the truth. If I know it's true in my own life, if I try to do something in my own strength, it does not work. So when I rely on Jesus and rely on his strength, That's when I can overcome weariness. But an interesting thing that I thought about is that the Trinity is one of the most difficult things to understand in the Christian life. And, some people make analogies like you have an egg, but they're all equal. So, I mean, I had one of the little girls on my bus route that said, Anthony, well, how is God three people? I was like, it's not the easiest one to explain. Then I try to think about it, and I try to use all the little illustrations. But sometimes it's easier for me to put it together when I look in passages when all the Trinity is there. In the baptism of Jesus, obviously you have Jesus. He's the one getting baptized. And then it says the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and then we hear God the Father's voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And sometimes we like to focus on certain aspects of the Trinity. But here, God kind of showed me something that really helped me get over my tired and weariness, is that we need every person of the Trinity to help me. I need to pray to God the Father. I need to rely on Jesus. It just said, without Jesus, I can do nothing. But Jesus also gave me His Spirit, and I have to live through the Spirit. And we see that in Galatians 5:16. We'll go back there. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So I could preach a whole, separate message on that, but obviously I won't. But it's the idea of walking every second of your life, knowing that the Holy Spirit's with you and relying on Him to get you through the day. So not only do we have to realize that we are nothing and God is everything, but also that God supplies us with the strength when we have none. Now, maybe you're not at that spot. Maybe you don't. You're just living everyday life, and you get tired. But sometimes you're going to hit what's called rock bottom. And I've been there. I know. Sometimes it's. I remember one night my mom was rushed back into surgery, and I had to drive from work to Jersey Shore Hospital, which was an hour and a half away. I got off of work at 1 o'clock, and that was after getting up at 6 that day. And it was just that was a tough, long day. And after I got there, and then I was sitting with my family, and then I got back into the car the next day, and I just broke down, and it was just rock bottom. And that time, it's like, how do I get up from here? How do I get strength when I have none? And God showed me this verse in Isaiah chapter 40. If you turn there quickly, I know we're turning a lot today. Isaiah chapter 40. And I was crying out to God. I said, "God, I have nothing left. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. The most spiritually influential person in my life is in the hospital, and she's looking to me for spiritual advice and help, and I just can't give it. I don't know what to do." And I open up the Bible, and it says in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength." And that was me. I said, "God, I have no might." And He literally used my words and just kind of popped the verse right out of the page to me. And then I kept reading. It says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And just that little story that God showed me, that in my darkest hour, in the toughest times, you have to hold to what you know is true, and that's the Bible. You have to hold to the promises in God's Word. Because God's never broken a promise. I know in the trial or when you're weary and times get tough, it may feel like that all of the Bible is just, not applying to you. But God's never broken a promise, and He doesn't, and He's never going to break a promise. And, obviously, like I've mentioned a lot recently with my mom, and there's times when you're in a trial when it feels like God's not talking. There's going to be times when it feels like He's just not there. And you say, "Anthony, is that a terrible thought for me to have?" Well, actually, I found this example in the Bible. It's when the disciples were in their worst storm, Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples didn't know what to do, and they ran to Him. They're like, "Jesus! Cares not that we perish." And sometimes that's how we feel in our darkest hour, is that we run to Him. It's like, "God, don't you care what I'm going through?" And you feel like He's sleeping. But the problem is that they ran to Jesus, and they shook Him, and they woke Him up. And God just hit me with this thought. It's like, "Anthony, are you praying enough to wake me up?" And I was in the trial, and God just kind of smacked me with that. It's like I kind of distanced myself, because I felt like He distanced Himself from me. But God's like, "You got to run to me in the trial. And you got to strive to seek after God when He doesn't feel like He's there." Now, obviously, God's not sleeping, but He may just be waiting for you to run to Him. And He may, in our weariness and our tiredness, can never be excuse to not meet with God and not to run after God when we need Him most, because He'll never fail you. And like the verse says, "And He giveth power to the faint, and and them that have no might, He increases strength." And focus on the little bit of the next part. It says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary." And it talks about in Galatians in our text is that let us not be weary in well-doing. It's kind of understood that in this life, you're going to get tired. In this life, you're going to get weary. And I'm trying to make you feel good, but Don't get down on yourself if you get tired and weary, because it's going to happen, and it happens to everybody in this room. But it matters where you go to get your strength back. If you don't run to God to get your strength back, you may get strength for a few minutes, or you might get through that day with 2 5-hour energies, but it's not going to be a lasting strength. You're not going to have the joy that you had before. So we have to rely on God for strength when we have none. But another point that God showed me to help me through my weariness is that you are going to see a harvest. Back in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life after everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You will always miss out on something when you get tired and slack off. Like I talked before in my other story, I slacked off and I got weary and I didn't do what I was supposed to do and I missed out. There are people that may not get saved because I get weary on Saturday mornings. There are people who may not get saved because I didn't give as much as I was supposed to because, I had to pay my school bill this week. I can't really tithe today. Or there are people who may not get saved because I just stopped praying for that one family member who just won't get saved. My pastor prayed for his dad for 20 years. There's people that you are just going to have to pray year after year after year for, but you can't get tired of doing it. It says in the verse, it says, "Be not weary in well-doing." Don't ever get tired of doing the right thing. Pastor Clark said this statement. He said, "You can get tired in the work, but don't get tired of the work. Don't ever get tired of doing the right thing because it's worth it." Now, I know it's hard. Sometimes you see people who aren't doing the right thing, and it looks like they're having a great life. But walking with Jesus is the best life. No matter what, no matter what you go through, no matter how hard your life gets, walking with Jesus is the best life. And they can't take that joy away from you. They can't take away the fact when I needed God the most that He showed up and gave me that verse, like I said before. They can't take that away from me. They can't take away the joy, the fact that I'm nothing, that I am literally nothing. The Bible says that I don't want to mess it up. But it talks about us being in broken vessels, talking about us we're just clay in the master's hands. We're nothing. There's 7 billion people in this world, but God looked onto this earth and said, "I love that one so much, I love all of them so much, that I'm going to send my son to die for them." The world can't take that joy away from you, that Jesus loved you so much that he died to save you. So, you're going to see a harvest. And don't get weary of when you don't see the harvest right now. Because it says, "In due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." Sowing and reaping is a biblical principle. I know sometimes we focus on the bad. Even my parents or my pastor will say to me, "You reap what you sow," because maybe I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. But it's also a good thing. If you sow good seed, if you share the gospel with somebody, or you pray for somebody, sowing and reaping can also be a good thing. And also, sowing for the eternal. We don't live for this world. Like I talked before, this world is not easy. This life gets tough. And we need to live for the world to come. We need to do all we can to bring as many people with us. Because in a million years from now, that's all that matters, is how many people you told the gospel to, how many people you prayed for to help them get saved. That's all that matters in 1,000 years from now. So we need to live for the eternal. I'm going to jump down to my last point. Find it in verse 9. It says, "And let us not be weary," "and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And my last point tonight is, you're not alone. No matter what you're going through, no matter how crazy your storm is, somebody's been through it. And honestly, somebody in this room has probably been through it. God's not shocked when He sees your problem. God's not like, "Wow, that's a new one. What do I do about this one?" God has a plan, God has a purpose, and relying on Him for strength, for comfort, for peace, that's what gets you through. That's what will help you not be weary. That's what will give you the joy that you're looking for. I know I found it in my own life. Is that just real life example? There's a kid at our school. His name's Dawson. His mom just got diagnosed with cancer. And right away I was like, wow, I know how that feels. I know how it feels to wait for doctor appointments. I mean, wait for scans to come back and wait to see if the treatment's working. And I pray with him and I talk to him because I know what he's going through. No matter what you're going through, somebody's been through it. And an interesting thought is, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it is, somebody's been through it, and God brought them through it, and He's going to bring you through it. God is not in the business of leaving you alone. He's given you a great church. I mean, I've only known this, I've only visited a few times, and I already feel like it's a second family. I mean, I love coming here. I love, like, people coming up to me and asking me how my mom's doing, and it's just a great family atmosphere, and it's just a great representation of what a church should be. And you're not alone in this life. And Jesus even said in His great commandment, His last great commission to His disciples, He says that I'm with you always. So when you feel alone, when you feel in your darkest hour, God's there to hear from you, and you have others that have been through it too. I'm going to close with this story in Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I'll start in verse 2. It said, now when John had heard, now this is talking about John the Baptist, heard in the prison the works of Jesus, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that shall come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. So we see here that John was in prison. John the Baptist, the one that Jesus himself said, there's no man greater than him born of women. Now he had to say that because, you know, Jesus wasn't born of man and he was the perfect Son of God. So obviously John the Baptist wasn't greater than Jesus. But Jesus himself gave John one of the highest titles anybody could give anybody. And here John is in prison wondering if that's actually Jesus. And Jesus said, go tell him again. So John lost faith. John started to get weary. John the Baptist was in the prison getting weary. So we all go through it. We all get weary. But John sent his disciples to Jesus, and Jesus was always there to help him and pick him back up. Now, I had a mom come to me in church one night with tears in her eyes. She was a mom of one of my good friends, younger than me, and I even tried to help disciple him a little bit. And I would call him my son. But she came to me and said, Anthony, I need you to pray for Kent. He said he's not walking like he should. And I've seen it. I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it on Instagram. Out, you know, just doing anything you could think of. Don't get weary. Don't give up what Jesus has for you, what God has for you, for the world. I know this life is tough and it's hard, but this Christian life is worth it. Living for God is the best life you can possibly live. And maybe you're sitting here tonight, it's like, Anthony, I just don't know that to be true. Well, either one, you need to know Jesus and get saved. Jesus loves everybody, and He sent His Son to die. God sent Jesus to die for everybody, and anybody can get saved. It's very simple. But maybe you are saved, and maybe you're just far away from God. Maybe you just don't feel as close as God. Maybe, like I said, maybe something happened in your life, and it just took you away from God. God's waiting for you. And this life is not easy, but the Christian life is worth it. And if you're weary, rely on God for strength. Know where the real power source comes from. Know that you're nothing, and God is everything, and that you're not alone. Dear God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for all you do for us. God, I pray that you'd help us just to get our strength from you. God, I pray that we would rely on you when we get weary. God, I thank you for your word and just the encouragement it is. God, I thank you for how much you love us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.